Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I'm your radio host, Angela Butler. We will be talking about tonight Trayvon Martin, a 17-year-old Orlando teen that was killed by a neighborhood watch captain in Orlando, Florida closed gated community. But next we will hear Fareed Braxton with Good Afternoon.
Excuse me, how you doing, love? Can I tell you that you're looking real, real nice with your sundress on? Girl, you're as pretty as the sky. I'm not the one to speak game or be the one to drown you with words. I just want to know your name, and then I'ma give you mine in return. Your lips, your eyes. Girl, you gotta know that you are one of a kind. Tell me this, are you messing with some other guy? And if not, then maybe I can call you later on tonight and see what's going down.
Good afternoon.
Yeah.
I wanna know if I can get the chance to chill with you. Then maybe go catch a movie and grab some food.
Oh, 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 oh.
I just wanna get to know you. Then maybe I can get the chance to wake up next to you and tell you good morning.
Oh, yeah. Now excuse me, miss, can I tell you this? Your beautiful skin's like a perfect 10. Your smile, your style, your sexiness look way more sweeter than a Hershey kiss. And you're wearing that dress with some shoes and a rest. I can tell that you walk around with confidence. And I really like the way you smell. Girl, I love the way you carry yourself. Like, whoa. Yeah, I know you done heard this before, but I'm about to tell you some more. That you're really, really, really beautiful. From head to toe, like, whoa. I really wanna take it slow, so we can reach that last level, where we both get that perfect glow.
Good afternoon. I wanna know if I can get the chance to chill with you. Then maybe go catch a movie and grab some food. I just wanna get to know you.
right, listening. That was Fareed Braxton with Good Afternoon. Don't forget to check him out on ReverberNation.com. And when I first came on about 5 or 6 minutes ago, I was talking about 17-year-old Trevon Martin. Trevon Martin was walking from the 7-Eleven in a closed-gate Orlando, Florida neighborhood. And the 28-year-old neighborhood watch captain saw him and called 911 because it was a suspicious-looking black male walking through a closed-gated community in Orlando, Florida. Well, apparently Zimmer decided to follow Trevon Martin instead of waiting on the police. Altercation may have occurred between the two. Either way, Zimmerman was left with a bloody nose, and 17-year-old Trevon Martin was shot in the chest, and of course he is dead. Also, Zimmerman is a 28-year-old white male and a criminal justice major. According to the media, Trevon Martin's family has retained attorney Benjamin Crump. For those of you who do not know who Mr. Benjamin Crump is, he is an attorney that handled the case that was widely spread on CNN and the Miami News Herald, who, of course, sued for the videotapes at the Boys School in Panama City, Florida, of Martin Lee Anderson, the 14-year-old that was killed. And they are also suing for the 911 tapes that the police have. But Zimmerman, it's his last name, but Zimmerman has not been charged as of yet for any sort of crime. And, you know, you really have to wonder if Zimmerman's race had been different, would he have been charged with a crime? I'm just saying the scenario is this. If he was a black man who had shot a 17-year-old white male, would the situation have been different? And instead of the police letting his self-defense statement stand, as of yet, he's not been arrested. Also, I have a question. I've asked myself this. Why didn't Zimmerman wait on the police after he had called them? In my opinion, even with a gun permit, he took the law into his own hands. That's my opinion. I also have to wonder why he needed a gun after calling the police. I mean, the 17-year-old Trevon Martin was not on his property or anyone else's property, but walking in the closed-gated neighborhood. And also, there was not any sort of weapon found on Trevon Martin's body around him or near him. Don't think it was some Skittles, some candy, and some tea. So you have to wonder about this. You know, he's saying it was self-defense, and the police are apparently accepting this in Orlando, Florida. But is this fair? Is this fair to the parents? Is it fair to the dead young man who was shot in the chest? I have a caller on the line. Caller, do you have any questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah. Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, the only question I had was, when this happened actually in what city, you say?
Orlando, Florida.
Okay. And so basically, who are they accusing of the crime?
No one.
Okay.
They're accused of the man with the last name Zimmerman, a white 28-year-old white male, but he hasn't been charged or anything like that, and this has went on nearly a month now here in Florida, South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he was never charged with anything. And you have to wonder why he needed a gun to just to follow the young man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He was 17 years old, and he was going to the 7-Eleven. So you have to wonder about his motives. Was that a form of racial profiling? Should he be charged with murder? I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what uproar is. Here in Florida, the young man's death and the fact that the man was never charged with anything, his self-defense thing is standing, and people
mm-hmm.
are saying that if he had been a different race,
mm-hmm.
and the situation was reversed, then somebody would be in jail
mm-hmm.
and charged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because no one was charged, so it was a black guy and a white guy.
The 17-year-old was in the 11th grade. He was a junior, and he was a white, and he was a black male, and the 28-year-old was a white male.
Okay. So they're saying that, according to it, what happened, the white male attacked the black man?
No, that's the, he called 911 because a suspicious black male was in his closed gated community, but the man, young man was there visiting not his mother-in-law, but his, I want to report the story correctly, his future mother-in-law and his step, his mother-in-law and his future, and his stepbrother.
So what happened?
What happened, he walked to the 7-Eleven in the closed gated community where the people were living at that he was visiting, and then he was walking back, and the man Zimmerman saw him, and apparently, according to the media, he called 911. Then he decided to follow him with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he altercation occurred, and he shot and killed him. But my question is, why didn't he wait on the police?
Oh, so he's saying he confronted. Who were they saying confronted who with a gun?
Zimmerman, the white male.
He confronted the black male.
Yeah, the 17-year-old junior, high school junior.
Okay. So after that, they're saying what they're saying an altercation occurred.
Yes, and the young man, the 17-year-old teenager, was shot and killed.
Oh. I think he, like you said, I agree with that. He may have taken the law into his own hands. I don't think that an altercation actually, I don't think if the guy pulled a gun on the black male, I don't think he would have done anything. I think the most people would have just left. If the guy asked him to leave, I think he would have just left. I don't think he would have fought. But, logically speaking, most people in that situation, they wouldn't fight if somebody pulled a gun on them. But, you know, other than that, so I think the media may have, you know, kind of twisted the story.
Yeah.
And
and that's what the uproar is over, that it may not have even been an altercation, that he was just shot in cold blood, killed in cold blood. Yeah. But like I said, I wasn't there. I just know what the media is reporting. And the family is suing for the 911 tapes that Zimmerman called in to the police station. You'll see what all occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And their attorney is Benjamin Crump, and he handled the Martin Lee Anderson case that was in Panama City, Florida.
Hmm.
The 14-year-old that was killed, who died at the boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so, also, I like to remind people to support the Southern Poverty Law Center in Montgomery, Alabama, to support them financially. And don't forget to look them up on the web, www.splc.com. The SPE is fighting rights for immigrants and blacks. This organization was started during the civil rights era with the help of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So don't forget to support them. All right, listeners, we're going to go to break. We've got to pay some bills. So let's listen to the Glamorant Magazine commercial.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere. Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business menu pumped. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and service. so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services.
Listener, that was the Conglomerate Magazine that can be found at www.conglomeratemagazine.com. The owner is Garland McLaughlin. Also, let's not forget Exquisite Barista, and which is a company of Exquisite's Design. The telephone number is 210-701-0143. Let's not forget inventor More Time to Sleep, Conti Contino. You can find him at www.mtts.com. That's Conti Contino's the inventor. Let's not forget Demetra Stewart with www.atlantaedition.com. Let's not forget Maurice and Abby Merriweather, the Visalis people. They can be found on Facebook, and I encourage you to hit Maurice and Abby Merriweather up for Visalis. Let's not forget Joanna Ramsey, the director of, and writer of Lost It All. Let's not forget X40, who is the singer of the song Survival. Don't forget to check him out on Reverbination. That's www.reverbnation.com. Check out his CD and let's listen to a little bit of X40 Survival.
Yeah, Forty Tyranny Survival for Children. You know what it is? It's my game. Survivor. Come on.
Yeah. I'm a survivor, I look everywhere, all I see is fire, shouting up louder, all I'm a fire, oh Lord, I'm a survivor, I'm a survivor, I look everywhere, all I see is fire, shouting up louder, all I'm a fire, oh Lord, I'm a survivor.
My word is brand new. I bring this to you just as new. 1, 2, 3, buckle up my shield. You can listen to the news, the words that I utter. I testimonies to better times in the past. I cut my back through the wall and praises to God. I break the four walls, I broke on the back of the terrible beast. Now I be like this. My enemies are on your knees. Step to the ground like glue. Listen to the tune. My lyrics to your ears just sound like the morning dew. I don't just read only Genesis, but also read Matthew. I stopped lots of pauses. I can scale through. Now I got money like the rain dropping on me like showers. I struggle to stay alive. Don't dive in the pool of death, 'cause if I can survive.
Okay, that was X40 with the song Survival. Don't forget to check him out, him and Fareed Braxton on Reverber Nation. And also X40 is from Africa. Okay, we still have the same caller on the line, I do believe. Caller, do you have any input or anything to say?
So basically, I would like to provide input is that in that situation, I think that they should actually, I think some of the leaders in the area or the city council should basically contact that community and contact them and let them know that because you have another race or nationality in that community that is not normally over there, I think that they should let them know that because you have another race and nationality, you should not, you should not prejudge that person, even though you hadn't seen them and call them, suspicious. because people come to different communities all the time, and people might say they're suspicious, but it's wrong to assume because of someone's color that they're in their community doing something wrong. They should first basically talk to the person and find out, you know, they should have asked the guy, you know, was he over there, you know, visiting someone, and give him the common courtesy and the respect as a human being before that should have never happened. So I think that some of the leaders in the community should contact, what is that area? Was that an apartment complex or was it?
It was a closed gated community. It had security there, if I'm not mistaken, what a closed gated community means.
I think that the leaders should contact whoever owns the community or whoever provides the mortgage to the community to let them know that it is wrong for them to, you know, prejudge someone like that. So I think that everyone in the community should know that, so something like this should never happen again. The main thing is communication. It's to communicate with people, new people that you see coming into your community. Because once you had that communication, if they would have had communication, they would have known that the young man was only over there visiting his relatives rather than prejudging. So I think that would really help us, you know, I think it would help in the future, people getting the understanding of different races and nationalities in their community.
Okay. All right, caller. I thank you for all this. I thank you for calling in and showing concern for what happened in Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. It's real tragic that because of the color of your skin, you can't be in a certain neighborhood. Mm-hmm. With a black American president or African American president, it's real tragic. But, of course, this goes on more than what people like to cover or admit, but it does happen. And it's more than likely it's going to continue to happen, I'm sorry to say. You will be, Dr. Martin Luther King did not want people to be judged by the content of the skin, but by their character. But, unfortunately, America has not gotten there yet. And this is a prime example.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tragic. All right, listeners. Like I said again, I was looking at the Winter Institute of the Southern Poverty Law Center. The Law Center is located in Montgomery, Alabama. It can be found at www.ficecenter.org. The winter edition is a special edition. I was reading about some of the issues that the immigrants were suffering. Especially in the state of Alabama, there was something passed called, I believe it was called H.R. Hold on, it's called H.B. 56, and there are people working for no pay. Still, Mexicans, Latinos. There's also the SPLC. It's the Southern Poverty Law Center is fighting anti-Latino discrimination in school. The HB 56 was passed in the state of Alabama. So it's horrible. That SPLC is fighting anti-Latino discrimination in school. Not only that for Latinos, but of course for Black Americans, they're fighting that. There's things going on that are pretty horrible. There was a lady. I'll just sum this up. This is their newsletter, their newspaper, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Winter Edition, and a factory worker sexually assaulted and beaten by boss. Her name was Alina, and she was sexually assaulted and beaten by her boss. So that wasn't the first time it happened, and the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, filed suit against the company Tuscoro Yarns Incorporated of Oak Grove, North Carolina, and the company agreed to pay $230,000 in damages and legal fees. It also agreed to enforce and improve sexual harassment policy, train its employees and supervisors on employee rights, and submit to monitoring by the U.S. Equal Opportunity Commission. I mean, that's awful. And there are state anti-immigration laws, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center newspaper, the winter 2011 edition. Six states have responded to native sentiments by acting far-reaching anti-immigrant laws that promote racial profiling, discrimination, harassment of immigration U.S. citizens of foreign descent. Now, some of these people are legal immigrants. Some of these people are really legal immigrants, and they're catching hell. Each state, with the exception of Indian, forced a U.S. Justice Department lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of its law. All face legal challenges by civil rights groups, including the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is suing Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina. Federal judges temporarily blocked admittance of each state law pending resolution of the cases. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear challenges in Arizona. The major provision of this law is that in Arizona authorities police to demand papers for legal statutes when they stop or arrest someone if they have reasonable suspicion. The person is undocumented, allows residents sue agency for not enforcing the law. It makes it illegal for the undocumented to work. And it says 6%. 400,000 totally unauthorized immigrant population, 6% of total population. In Utah, major provisions. State's milder law grants policy authority to check immigration statute. A person is detained for serious crime, creates state guest worker program, authorizes partnership with Mexican state of Nuevo León to bring guest workers, authorized citizens to sponsor immigrants for stay at 3.8%. It says 110,000 total on the authorized immigrant population. So, I'll let listeners speak. Then it goes on to talk about Indiana, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina. Alabama has 2.5%, 125 total authorized immigration population, 2.5% of the population. In Arizona, by the way, they lost sign was April 23rd, and in July 28th, federal court blocks parts of Arizona law on July 28th. So, there's a lot of discrimination going on. They seem to be in fear of the Latinos. In Georgia, the major provision authorizes police to demand papers, demonstrate legal statutes during traffic stop, legalization criminalizes interactions with undocumented, makes it unjustifiably difficult for people with specific ID documents to access state facilities and services. In Georgia, 4.4%. It says 425 total unauthorized immigration population, 4.4% of total population, and it says federal court blocks parts of Georgia law on June 27th, and South Carolina law signed June 27th. So, I don't know if you understood what I just read, but if you didn't, you can go to www.spicecenters.org, which is the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is located in Montgomery, Alabama, and follow up on this. It's the winter 2011 edition. It's a little older news, but I'm bringing it to you anyway because I feel that it's newsworthy. All right, caller, do you have any questions?
I pretty much answered my questions. I had a question about advertising.
About what?
About advertising on the
okay.
radio show.
Okay.
If I wanted to actually promote my blog or my website, because I actually provide the website for anyone who wanted to participate as saving on their energy. And we also have where you can refer customers and earn income using green energy, which is going to help the United States reduce its dependence on foreign oil, as well as lower gas prices all around the country. So for more information, they can actually go to www.dfwtagteam.com. Once again, that's D as in dog, F as in Frank, W as in world. So that's DFW Tag Team, TAGTEAM.com. And they will listen to the short sizzle call. They'll see sizzle call on there. They can listen to the sizzle call and get all the information. And then if they have any additional questions, they can email me at walts800@gmail.com. Once again, that's W-A-L, as in Larry, T as in Tom, S as in Sam, 800@gmail.com. And they can leave their contact information. I will contact them to answer any questions that they may have about it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Paul, for leaving that information. I'm sure my listeners would love to save on their energy bills. That is possible to do. I encourage you to contact the caller at his email address and go to his blog site and check out the energy saver. I believe it's the energy saver. I haven't tried it, but I believe it is. All right, caller, thank you for calling in. All right, listeners, that's going to end Show Talk with Angela Butler tonight, this afternoon on March 12, 2012. I thank the caller that called in and the other callers who were listening. The calling number again is 1-347-327-9376. You can reach me at angelabutlershow@gmail.com. Also, if you want healthy coffee, contact me there for some healthy coffee if you would like to be a distributor. Or 850-638-8901 on my email address if I'm not available, if you're not able to get me at the number. AngelaButlerShow@gmail.com. Thank you, caller.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, listen, that's going to end it for Show Talk with Angela Butler. Have a nice night.